Hey girl, are you shopping right now? Because it's Christmas time and you're buying things for everyone but yourself, but you have to take time for you. Self-care is important. And you know what? You know what you need to check out and put in your next shopping cart? Air from Dane Products. Dane Products is a sexual wellness brand focused on closing the pleasure gap for people with vulvas. And I probably own more Dane Products sex toys than any other brand out there. I personally love the versatility of their products because if it says it's a G-spot vibrator, you can use it on your clit too, rub it on your nipple, put it on your neck. It is amazing. So many options. And as a Boonie Breakdown listener, you can receive 10% off of your purchase by using the code Boonie10. That's Boonie, all cap letters, 10. Details on how to purchase can be found in the show notes and on theboonybreakdown.com. Hey y'all, it's your girl Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode. We are back. It is a special week. It is a special week here at the Boonie Breakdown. You want to know why? Because it is my birthday week. And you know what else? This week's guest, we are birthday twins, all right? You guys know her. You already know. She's been on the pod so much. She's one of my favorite astrologers. She has supported the Moonie Breakdown since, I think she was like on episode 4 or 5 before I even knew what the hell I was doing. She agreed to come on and she has been supporting us ever since. So this week's guest is Mecca Woods. You may know her from her featured appearances in Bustle and Essence and Tara.com, Cosmopolitan, so many great things, so many great things. And this conversation is just more greatness because you know why? It's SAG season, bitches. It's our birthday. We're excited. And we talk about all of that stuff. And you know, we talk about our good friend Mercury because, you know, she's back in retrograde this week. And Mecca gives us her forecast for 2024. So you do want to stick around for that conversation. All right. So it's time for pick of the week. This week, my pick of the week is another television show. I mean, it's cold. It's cold in Baltimore this time of year. So like, what else is there to do but to watch TV and be indoors and be in your house where it's nice and warm and toasty? Okay. But anywho, pick of the week this week is Bass Reeves over on Paramount. Right now, Paramount and Apple TV have the best content, hands down, best shows. But Bass Reeves is another Taylor Sheridan production. It has David Oyelowo. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's about the first Black U.S. Marshal, Bass Reeves. It is really good. It's similar to like that Western 1883-1923 style show, but it's really good. It's really good acting, really good dialogue, really good storyline. So if you have not checked it out, go ahead and check out Bass Reeves.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
All right, we're doing feedback from last week's episode with our problematic fave, Brian. Belly buttons are sexy, too. Got some really good feedback that you guys enjoyed this episode. I did ask the Talk to Boonie Tuesday question that Brian wanted and me, too. And the vast majority of the respondents said that they do not feel some type of way or think some type of way about the men who they have pegging encounters with. Brian then reposted it and said lies. So take that as you may. I think also I got a message where someone said after listening to the tail end of that episode, they feel encouraged to now go out and get their gun permit. And I am with you. I really need to take action on that, even though y'all heard an episode. I don't really like guns, but I see the value in being able to legally own and carry one. So I got to work through my own stuff. But if you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and check that out. You want to know what else? Because it's my birthday week and you want to support your girl in her birthday week, you got a couple options here, right? You can head on over to theboonybreakdown.com and you can purchase some merch. you can head on over to patreon.com/theboonie breakdown and you can join Patreon gang. You know what else you can do? You can leave a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That will help me too. You want to know what else you can do? You can like these reels. If you feel inclined, you can Cash App your girl. Boonie Breakdown. That's what you can do. You can make two friends follow us on social media at The Boonie Breakdown on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can also follow us on Twitter at Boonie Breakdown. These are so many ways. Some cost you nothing. Some cost you nothing. Some cost you a lot. But you can support. Even on Patreon can cost you as low as $3 to support. And so you guys know I appreciate every amount of support that you all give and that you show to the Boonie Breakdown, especially as I'm coming back and rebuilding after such a long hiatus away. And so I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all so much. And that is it for me. So let's get ready to break it down. All right, guys. So it's been a while since this guest has been on the podcast, but I have to welcome my fave Mecca here.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for having me back, Boonie.
Yeah, of course. Look, it only makes sense. We're recording this the day before SAG season. Mm-hmm. We're both Sagittariuses.
Yes.
We're actually birthday twins for people.
Birthday twins. Yep. December babies.
How many people do you know with our birthday? I know a few.
I know a couple. So I have a friend out in LA. There was another person that I met not too long ago. You know, Offset has our birthday.
I know. I was like that. You know, I feel like Offset has really been like having a chance to shine because everybody I felt like was on the other one, Quavo.
Right.
Like Offset's having his moment. And I'm like, though Sagittarius men are different than
they are
women. I'll make that caveat.
I feel like, yeah. Sag men are definitely different than us women. I think Offset, I don't know. I like him being a bit of a family man. I like that on him. Yeah. He seems to be maturing and that's good, right? Like that's the point. Like as the older we get, the wiser we get, the more mature we get, you know, those kinds of things, right?
That's what they say. That's what they say. You should do. No. It's funny because it's been later in life. Growing up, I didn't know anybody with the birthday. And now I think I went to college and the guy who lived next door to me freshman year, birthday twin. I met this girl on Twitter, we're birthday twins. I met you, we're birthday twins. I recently met somebody else and they're literally born 11:59 p.m. December 14th. I was like, you just made it.
Just made it.
You just made it. So yeah, I always love, it's cool meeting birthday twins. And the best season is upon us, Sag season, when this is dropping. I know, you know, people get tipsy and out of sorts because of Mercury, the most famous of the planets. It'll be retrograde in Sag season, right?
Yeah. So Mercury will be retrograde. I think actually until January 1st.
Yeah.
So yeah, just right around New Year's, Mercury will go forward again. So it actually dances back and forth between Mercury and Capricorn and Mercury and Sagittarius. So like for anybody out there who's not familiar with like how the stars work, if you can think about like each zodiac sign being like a train station and the planets themselves are like trains. So every time, you know, a planet cycles through one of the signs, they take on that vibe or that energy of the sign, and then they move on to the next one and to the next.
That is a great analogy.
Yeah.
Anything we should be mindful of while Sagittarius season and Mercury retrograde are colliding a little bit here?
Yeah. So this Sagittarius season, it gets off to a little bit of a slow start because we have Saturn and Pisces sort of dragging things down. So Saturn is a planet that tends to be sort of a killjoy.
And you it's know, in Pisces.
Right. Right. So, you know, the first week or so, maybe a little bit kind of a downer, but once we start kind of ramping up into Sag season, things will start to pick up. With the Mercury retrograde. So I guess my rule of thumb, right? Cause you know, people are doing like their holiday shopping and things like that. You know, get your warranties, right? Because sometimes with Mercury retrograde, we buy stuff, especially like expensive, like electronics or like, you know, if you're buying a new car or, you know, all those like little gadgets, new phones and things like that. You want to make sure that you get your warranty in case something, you know, is wrong with it and you got to take it back to the store and exchange it or, you know, get something new. So that's definitely something that you want to be mindful of. I would also say, like, with this holiday season, this may be a time to kind of think about, like, focusing on the essential stuff more so than like luxury stuff. I know, you know, Sagittarius, we love to spend money.
Oh, baby. I start treating myself and don't know how to stop.
Yes. You know, like a Sagittarius, like our planet is Jupiter. Jupiter is all about wealth and having a good time, good food, good drink, you know, all that good stuff. But I would say, you know, with the season coming, with the holiday season coming up, we might want to be a little bit more mindful of like our spending, our pockets this season.
Noted and noted. Yes. Once I start, baby, it's hard to reel me in until I feel like this time I caught myself. Like I was in a tailspin a little bit and I'm like, whoa. You got to pay this credit card back at some point. So
right. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you because I realized that social media is really bad for me. Like, you know how the ads pop up? They get me all the time. I'm such a sucker.
And I don't know who Mark Zuckerberg and all them people think I am, because some of the ads I get don't match my income level. So now I keep getting served this ad for Mara Hoffman and it's this dress that I'm obsessed with and I'm like, oh, I want it. I see the vision.
Right. How much is the dress?
It's $1,300.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, that's too rich for my blood, but I'm a bookmark it and maybe they'll have a sale and it'll, I don't know. But what would the sale be? Like $600? I don't know. That's still a bit much for a dress.
I know. Like, I saw the, there was a Target, was it not Balmain? There's a new Target. You know, collection? What do you call it? Collaboration. I forget the designer, but I was looking at it. It just dropped like November 9th, I want to say.
I even missed that one.
And I was like, oh, maybe I could. And one of the dresses, so this is Target, mind you, right? And one of the dresses was like $600. And I was just like, yeah, I don't think so.
Not for Target. I'm sorry. Like, not for Target. Right.
Exactly. You're exactly. Exactly. So, yeah. So I would say, you know, like with the Mercury retrograde, you know, coming in, because I think between December. So let me see. Where are we right now? We're in November. Yeah. So I think like between December and January. Venus. So Venus is the planet that has to do with like feel good, look good, love, romance, and all that stuff like that. So Venus, she's going to be dancing between because she's in Libra now. So she's going to move into Scorpio and into Capricorn. So Venus in Libra is a little bit more, you know, luxurious in terms of like, I want to be pretty no matter the cost. Right. But then she goes into Scorpio and Scorpio is a little bit more conscientious, especially Scorpio and Capricorn. Like those two signs are a little bit more financially savvy.
Definitely right. Capricorns.
So yeah, so I would say like, yeah, going into the holidays, we definitely want to kind of be mindful of the spending. So,
all right, noted, mindful of the spending.
I have to take my own advice.
Yeah. Definitely. I wrote it down, like be mindful. So yeah. We're gonna keep going with this. So we got Sag season this holiday time, and then it'll be the new year. And right. everyone's excited, and we always do our New Year's resolutions and things we want to change or fix or work on. What are the stars saying is in sight for 2024? I know we had this conversation before mm-hmm. a couple years ago, and it was exciting because I went back and listened to the episode, and I was like, Marco was hitting on some things. So
right.
what's the forecast for 2024?
Oh, so 2024, one of the big things is that we have Pluto moving back into Aquarius. So for anyone that doesn't know, so, you know, each of the planets have their different jobs that they do. Some of you who are avid, you know, astrology enthusiasts may have heard that the United States of America, which we live in right now, it's currently going through a Pluto return. Mm-hmm. So basically what happens is Pluto is a planet that tends to be connected to things like power and control. Pluto tends to unearth a lot of things that are hidden and bring them up to the surface so that we can like address it and pay attention to it. But because it's Pluto, you know, it's never easy. You know, it's very like ugly, you know, murky, you know, shadowy stuff, right? And I think we've been seeing that, you know, happening, you know, for the past, because Pluto's been in Capricorn since 2008, right? And that was when the banks first collapsed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, since then, like over the past, you know, decade or so, we've seen a lot of stuff with regards to like government corruption, you know, big tech, big business, you know, big pharma, like all of these, like, really powerful entities and people who have just amassing more power, you yeah. know, more power, more money, right? And it's created an imbalance, right? Like everywhere you look, everything seems to be kind of like in a shambles, you know. And when we talk about Aquarius, you know, Aquarius is a sign that is connected to, you know, community, to the people, to the everyday, you know, you and me kind of person. And so with Pluto going into Aquarius, like we saw some of it earlier this year, where you have people banding together in terms of like unions and going on strike and, you know, people basically kind of pushing back, right, against these powers. Yeah. And so as Pluto goes back into Aquarius, when we get to January 2024, and so like Pluto, you know, like it's one of the outer planets. So like its cycle is really long, really, you know, like this is like 10, 20 years in the making. Right. So when we go back to Pluto and Aquarius, you're going to see more of this of people pushing back against, you know, these powers. Right. And the thing is that it's not going to be always pretty. You know, that's the thing yeah. with Pluto. Like Pluto is not a cuddly, you know, soft, gentle energy. You know, it could be violent, it could be bloody, it could be painful, you know, all of those things. But the goal is that, you know, to create some change, you know, it's about time. So that's one of the biggest things that we're going to see, you know, as we go into the new year. The other thing is that Jupiter, so I was talking a little bit about Jupiter earlier. Jupiter is the planet that has to do with like wealth and opportunity. I always like when Jupiter comes around, Jupiter's kind of like a Santa Claus.
Oh, that's good. Some fortune getting spread around.
A little Santa Claus. So Jupiter moves into Gemini in the spring. So wherever Jupiter goes, it stays there for about a year. So, you know, our Gemini risings, our Gemini suns, Gemini moons will be getting some of this Jupiter energy, but all of us will, like every sign will get Jupiter somewhere, bringing some blessings and some gifts to that Gemini part of their chart.
I think we all deserve blessings and gifts after these stretch years. Like the pandemic was just such a weird time, and it was such a time suck too. And like when I look back at some of the things that happened, it's like, what's that real life? Like spreading yeah. the black squares on Instagram because I stand for racial justice, and the whole, why was George Floyd the catalyst for all of these faux diversity and inclusion efforts, right? That have all right. now faded right. away.
Right.
So just like when you look back at some of the stuff, like we were literally like people covering their heads and all this stuff to stay away from the virus. But it was also just a time suck. I don't know. Very weird time.
Yeah. I think some of that also was the fact that, like, we had a lot of planets in that time in Aquarius. And, you know, one, you know, I feel like sometimes when we talk about, like, Aquarius stuff, it always kind of reminds us, like, time is, like, a construct. Like, you know, like, it's real, but then it's kind of, like, what is time? You know, it was a lot of that, you know. So, I mean, you know, with Jupiter and Gemini, I mean, like I said, everybody is going to be getting a little bit of a gift somewhere, wherever Gemini rules, they're part of their birth chart. But, you know, like, I don't want to paint a pie in the sky kind of picture, because, like I said, you know, there's still, you know, there's still some, you know, a tough road we have ahead in terms of, like, collectively, you know, in terms of, like, a lot of the different things that are going on, you know, globally and politically and things of that nature. But I can say, like, when we talk about, you know, Gemini and, like, the gifts of Gemini, I think, you know, it could be a good time to, like, learn something new, take classes, meet new people. It could be a good time to, like, you know, open your mind to, you know, new things or a new attitude or a way of life, because Gemini teaches us that we contain multitudes within us, right? I know that Geminis get a lot of, you know, get a lot of flack.
They crazy.
I know that my Gemini, you know, kindred, you know, get a lot of flack, you know, and yes, you know, like that downside, or like that shadowy side of Gemini can definitely be, you know, like the two-facedness and, you know, the gossips and, you know, say one thing and do another, you know, like that wishy-washy kind of energy. But in its most positive light, you know, Gemini can be very entertaining. It can teach us, like, you know, that variety, you know, is the spice of life, you know, to shake things up, try new things. Sense of humor, you know, Sagittarius, we love to laugh and tell jokes. Oh. Like, we're goofballs.
At the core.
You know, so, you know, with Gemini, there can be a little bit more levity, you know, to life, you know, to kind of balance some of that darkness, you know, that we're experiencing and seeing around the world. I will say, though, sometimes with Gemini, there can be an inundation of, like, information, you know, coming at you. So I always tell people, like, whenever we're dealing with, like, you know, like Mercury retrograde, for example, or even with Jupiter and Gemini, there may be an influx of, like, you know, misinformation and disinformation. So, you know, that's why it's also going to be important in terms of, like, you know, what you're giving your attention to. You know, and, like, where you're putting your mental energy, so as not to be, like, overstimulated, you know, or, you know, anxious, you know, about stuff if you're just absorbing and doom scrolling and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do think you have to be careful. I make the conscious decision on my page not to share some of what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. See it so much everywhere else, so
right, yeah,
like, I just don't mind to be the light, you know, either it's funny, educational, but not that I don't have an opinion on what's happening. I just don't want to contribute to the doom scrolling that you just said, because it is a lot at times to ingest, and sometimes you just have to put the phone down or close the app and walk away from it. I was gonna say, also, with what's happening in the world right now, I think I'm going to go back up. It was something you said in a previous episode that people may not have listened to, or we have new listeners and they haven't listened to that episode. But you said that astrology is a tool. Mm-hmm. And I know you were just saying all these things about good fortune, even though it could be a tough road. And so I don't want people, you're always really good about expressing that. Like, don't take this as fortune telling, but it's just a tool that you can use to help plan and navigate, but it's not set in stone kind of thing.
Right.
And I think people, we see all of the memes and everything shared on social, that it's just easy to be like, yep, that's it.
Right. Yeah.
So I just wanted to do that caveat before we transition to this next part, because also in a previous episode, we had talked about, I'm going to ask you, because I can't remember, what was like your, like, I hate these blank men? Like, what sign is yours?
Well, the ones that I always had trouble with were water sign men. Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer, because I'm so fiery. Like my chart is so fiery, and then I have like a little air because I'm an Aquarius moon, and a little bit of earth in my chart. So I have no water. So it's always funny because I think we might have spoken about this before, that like whenever you get that situation where you're like, damn, like, why do I keep attracting, you know, Geminis? Why do I keep getting Leos? Why do I don't want this sign anymore, right? It's usually because you probably lack or are deficient in that sign somewhere in your chart or that element. And that person or these people are bringing something to you that you need, like a lesson essentially that you need to learn. That's essentially what it is. So like for me, it was water signs.
I am so happy that you mentioned that again, because I did forget that you had said that. I did. I'm not going to lie. So no, we're both Sag suns. Mm-hmm. I'm a Virgo moon and a Libra rising. Those are the big ones. I do have a lot of fire with Sagittarius in my chart, but Capricorn is there. Virgo is there.
Mm-hmm. So you have that earth. Yeah. That earth and fire. It sounds like you have it the strongest. Yeah.
I've been very vocal about Gemini men being vain.
Right.
And so I'm happy that you just said what you said, because now I would like to join in on Pisces men. This feels like emotional warfare. I have never encountered such manipulative men. Mm. Right? Like, it is, I mean, it is mind blowing.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't. I'm gonna have to add Pisces men to the list of Gemini men, and to some degree they might even be worse. I don't know.
Well, okay, so let's take you're a Virgo moon Sag sun, right? So with the Sag sun, you know, Sages, we tend to be very straightforward, very blunt, right? They call us the truth seekers of the Sagittarius zodiac, right?
What do they call us?
Sagittarius.
Such blasphemy. Like, I don't.
At the same time. So then you have that. And then your Virgo moon is, so your moon is the part of you that has to do with how you process your emotions, right? How you process your feelings, what you need to feel safe and comfortable, especially in a relationship. And when you're a Virgo moon, you need to be able to like hash stuff out with a partner. Like, okay, this is a problem or this is an issue. We need to talk about this. Let's work on this. Let, you know, because Virgo, like all Virgo placements have an inherent need to fix things, fix and improve, right? So if you're not fixing, it's either you're fixing and improving yourself or helping, right? Or you're helping to fix and improve other people. Sometimes that could be through the work, you know, your career or the work that you do. But then in your relationships, right, a romantic relationship in particular, you know, you need a partner who's willing to do the work with you. And so if they're not interested in that self-work or in the work that it takes to actually maintain a happy, healthy relationship, then you're going to, you know, you're going to feel unsafe. You know, that's going to be a trigger for you. And when we talk about like, you know, Gemini men, I think that sometimes, again, with the, you know, like that shadow side, and not all Geminis are this way. But, you know, I think the shadow side is that like if you get an immature Gemini man, it could be very in and out, you know, like 1 minute they're in, next minute they're out. Right. And for you having that earth is very consistent. Right. So even though you have that fiery Sag energy about you, at the end of the day, it's like, I need consistency. I need someone who's going to show up. Right.
I often say that my Virgo moon balances my Sag fire so much because I feel like, good Lord, if that was not my composition, sometimes that Sag fire will scorch the earth, right? But I feel like having that Virgo placement
Yeah, it gives you some grounding.
And that was also very affirming because I don't mind, because nobody's perfect, right? But I just right. need to see that you're making the effort, or mm-hmm. if there's a communication breakdown, we can talk it through. Very few things hurt my feelings, but a lot of things, something may hurt my feelings more if you don't tell me the backstory of it, or if that makes sense, right?
Like, yeah.
So
yeah,
totally. That is very interesting. But yeah I don't know.
Yeah,
I see, and then men might be too much for me.
Well, then, you know, with the Pisces, and then you mentioned Pisces. I mean, you know, the downside, like, so when you get an immature Pisces man or a Pisces who's misbehaving, it can be manipulative. I mean, it's like the gift and the curse, right? Like, when we talk about water signs, they kind of have a fast track to, like, emotional energy. Like, they're really good at knowing what makes you tick, because that's the gift and the curse, right? Because they can then, you know, manipulate you and push your buttons in a way to get the emotional response from you.
That's
right.
I said it feels like emotional warfare to some mm-hmm. degree. Like, yeah. Why do you do this? Like, you know what you're doing. Like, I right. know that they know what they're doing and they keep mm-hmm. doing it. And so it's like, why?
Right.
Why do you want to get this side of me? Like, what are you trying to do here?
Right. Well, then the other part, so that it sounds to me that you're kind of like me, like you don't really have water in your chart. So if you're getting these Pisces men who are...
What are the water signs again? Pisces?
Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. So if you're getting, you know, water signs or Pisces men, you know, it could be that they are trying to get you to be more emotionally vulnerable. That could be it.
Don't drag me, Mecca.
No, I get it. My moon is an Aquarius, girl. That's like the queen, the ice queen right there. So I get it. I 100% get it. You know, and that's what I had to learn.
Get me to be more emotionally mm-hmm. vulnerable. Mm-hmm. My therapist says that to me a lot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe that's it. I just feel like it's so much that I can't cope. Yeah. But I never also thought that I would enjoy a Capricorn.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I feel like what I enjoy about it is they're very upfront.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
are who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to navigate around them.
Yeah.
But what I don't like is they're very money driven.
Yeah. Well,
it's like money or business oriented, but it's like, that is a big driving force for the ones I've encountered. And for me, yeah. So money is nice because it buys you things. Right.
But right.
It's not a big motivator for me in the sense of like burnout or hustle like that. No.
Right.
But it's like, oh, I can get some money. Okay. But I'm only going to do but so much, because at some point it's just not worth it to me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, Capricorns, well, you know, that would speak to, you know, your earthy side. Right. Mm-hmm. And kind of giving your Virgo moon like a nice grounded, sturdy place to land. I think Capricorns, I mean, but you know, they're Saturn ruled, right? So when we talk about Saturn in astrology, Saturn is the planet that teaches us things like hard work and discipline and dedication. And Saturn is very goal oriented, right? So people who are born under the influence of Saturn, like Capricorns, you know, success and achievement is going to be something that they prioritize, and sometimes to a fault, you know. Sometimes, you know, like that's where you could get like the overwork, you know, the over ambition, the Capricorns who are like, well, I can't settle down yet until, you know, I reach this place in my career, right? Capricorns also kind of do that thing where we call like the Benjamin Button effect. A lot of Capricorns are born old souls and they age backwards, you know, the older that they get.
That's kind of cool though.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I've ever asked you this.
Mm.
So I'm a Sag sun, Virgo moon, Libra rising. My Venus and Mars are both in Aquarius.
Okay.
What is a good compatible match for me? I've never asked you that.
Oh, okay. So,
just curious.
Have you ever dated an Aquarius before?
Yeah.
What
one might be, you know how they have that thing? It's like you have three great loves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
so was Aquarius one of was my one great of them.
Love.
That makes hilarious. Sense. That makes sense. Because, you know, you mentioned the Venus and Mars in Aquarius, right? So Venus is how we, is what we value, right? Specifically when we talk about like our core values, but also like what we value in terms of a partner. Mars has to do with what turns us on. So when we talk about your Venus and Mars being Aquarius, then it would make sense that, yeah, an Aquarius would be one of your top three. I wonder, too, right, if you've ever had a Capricorn Aquarius mix before.
I don't think so. I think the one Capricorn I was entangled with, I think they were Capricorn Gemini. I think it was like Capricorn, Gemini, Scorpio were his big three.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, so like, you know, like a Cap Aquarius, I think could work for you.
Okay.
Or a Sag Cap, like that, because those signs, they sit side by side to each other, so it's not uncommon to have like a blending of those signs.
That makes sense.
Have you ever dated an Aries before?
Actually, no, I've done a lot of Leo, and it's funny, all of the, I love Leo men, all of the important men in my life are Leos. My dad, my best friend, my uncle, my grandfather, my stepfather, they were all Leos. And so I've done a lot of dating with Leo men. I don't know, that's my magnet, but I've never done an Aries, which is...
That might be something crazy to explore.
All right, where the April men at?
I would even say like an Aries Taurus blend, you know, since you have that Earth in your chart. Or because since you're a Libra rising, it means that you're opposite. Like, so our rising sign has to do with like how we greet the world. Sitting opposite of that, they just thinking about the birth chart has to do with like our partnerships. And if you're a Libra rising, it means that Aries is the sign that impacts your partnership zone. So it doesn't always necessarily mean that you'll end up with an Aries, but it could be, you know, someone, they could have an Aries, like a major planet in Aries in their chart, or they can be Aries-like. So, you know, someone who is very like strong-willed, assertive, go-getter, passionate. You know, like that.
I was waiting for something spicy.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe an Aries.
Okay. I never asked you that. I was not planning to ask you that tonight, but you know, it came up and it's hilarious that you said Aquarius. I did ask some listeners some really brief questions. So I got three back that I thought were kind of, you know, interesting. One, the first one was, Booney, help. Can two July Cancers really work in a relationship?
Well, you know what I always say? Whenever you are dating someone who is the same sign as you, you're essentially, you know, they are a mirror to you, your best and your worst. I mean, there are definitely other factors to it, because it would also depend on whether or not you were born the same year and the same day, because then that would mean that your charts would be very similar. Or if you're born the same day but different year, then that would mean that, you know, there would be some differences between the charts. But Just going off the sun sign alone, you know, you're going to be dating someone who represents you in all your best and all your worst. And my thing, you know, when we talk about astrology and relationships, it's always the same thing I find that shows up, you know, time and time again, is that no matter who it is that we are with, that person is always going to be a mirror to us in some way. And relationships, you know, is not only just about like how we feel with that person and enjoying like that companionship, but also like, how do we feel about ourselves? Mm-hmm. So it could work. Yes. I never tell people that, like, like whenever I'm doing like love readings with people, unless like there's just really like things in the within the charts or within the relationship that are just like, no, like you will be healthier separate than you would be together. You know, it really boils down to whether or not you want it to work, but know that you are essentially dating yourself.
You're dating yourself. There you go. I hope that answers your question. The next one was, why do Scorpios lust for power and manipulate people?
Oh, that's a great question. Wow. That why do Scorpio? Okay. So, you have to understand that a lot of Scorpios are born into this world with an acute sense of vulnerability. And they often have a very deep rooted fear of rejection and a fear of abandonment. Mm. And so when you start to think about those things and how they relate to, you know, control and power, Scorpios would rather like, you know, if there are any Scorpios out there that disagree, that's totally fine. But in my experience, I find that Scorpios would rather eat glass than be vulnerable, like emotionally vulnerable, or even financially vulnerable to people. So that's where, like, you know, and then, you know, it also depends on like whether or not like they've been surrounded by people who have like loved and encouraged and challenged them in like healthy ways, because like, those vengeful, you know, manipulative Scorpios that you see, that's often a result of like, you know, like them just really not being able to overcome their insecurities.
Gotcha.
But when that happens, like when you get like the game playing and, you know, all of that, that's usually them trying to protect themselves, you know, trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? They're trying to kind of like a preemptive strike, if you will. Like, you know, kind of think about like, remember when you were younger? I don't know if you ever did this, Booney, but uh-oh. I remember when I was younger as a teenager, and you know, you go through that point in time when you have your heart broken, right? You think, oh my God, I'm never gonna love again. I'm never gonna find, you know, right? And you vow to yourself, I'm never going to let anybody get close to me again. I'm never, you know, and of course that is not the case, but I feel like that kind of happens with Scorpios of like, I'm never going to let this person, you know, get me, you know, or get into this place. So rather than put me in that position, let me preemptively strike, yeah, I'm gonna do, you know, it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. And this last one, I promise you, the person who submitted it is a Sag, mm-hmm. but I did not pay them to submit this.
Okay.
There may be some bias from both of us.
Okay.
Why are Sag women the best women in the zodiac?
Why are we the best? Why are we the best? Well, I think that Sag women, I appreciate our optimism, you know, our resiliency. We get a lot of flack, I think, sometimes when people be like, you know, you guys are so unserious, you know, you don't take anything seriously, you know, you guys are just a bunch of, you know, just goofballs and things like that. And yes, on some level that's true. But one of the things that I appreciate about Sag women is that, like, you know, we could get our heart broken. We could, you know, fail severely, you know, go through a setback, go through a challenge. Life can like kick our ass, but we'll still find a way to smile and still find a way to like look forward to tomorrow and still be able to encourage other people around us, you know, with that warmth and inspiration too. So that I would say that.
It's the warmth.
Yeah.
We're very warm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we're funny. And I don't know an ugly Sag woman either. I'm just gonna say that too.
Yes. No. I don't.
So it all works. I knew it would be some bias there, but you know, the question came in and it deserved an answer. I do want to ask you, what's new with you? Any new books, any new projects you're working on? I know the last time
Great question. So I have been working a little bit more behind the scenes lately, and it's more so because I'm kind of like at a bit of a crossroads in terms of like where I want to go next, you know, with my career. Like I've written books, I've done, you know, collaborations, I've been on TV, I've done a great deal.
Oh, talk your shit.
I've done a lot of stuff, you know. I started my astrology career back in, I want to say 2011, 2012. And so it's been over a decade at this point. And I've been really fortunate to have done really amazing things, you know, with my career. But now I'm finding myself in this place of kind of like, okay, like what's next? So for me, because I'm also someone who's like, I don't want to just go after stuff and just be doing things just for the sake of saying like I'm doing stuff. Like for me, and that's the thing, you know, when we talk about Sagittarius or Sagittarius season, you know, Sagittarius teaches us to seek out meaningful experiences, not just any old run of the mill. Like, do you believe in what you're doing? You know, does this impact you, you know, in a good way? Do you feel fulfilled? Right. And if the answer is no, then it's kind of like, all right, well, you need to go and seek that, you know, go out there and search for that. And so for me right now, in terms of what I'm doing, it's more so I find that like my creative side wants to come back out. Like it's been over 10 years since I used to. So there was another life I lived where, you know, I wrote poetry, I did open mics, I wrote short fiction, I wrote a movie that I took to the Cannes Film Festival with a friend of mine, another Sag, a friend of mine. And so now, you know, I kind of put that part of myself away to focus more on astrology. And so lately I've been like, do I have things that I want to say? But do I want to do it in a more creative way? So I feel like that's kind of like the direction that I'm kind of like, I don't know if necessarily that's going to be me, but like, I feel like that's what I want to play with now. So
That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Well, can you tell everyone where they can follow you, find you on the internet? I know you do horoscopes out here. Again, you're back with your monthly horoscopes. I was excited. Everyone know where they can find you.
Yes. So if you are interested in monthly horoscopes, I write monthlies for Anscape, which was formerly The Undisputed, but it's called Anscape. So you can find me there every month, monthly horoscopes. I also have two books out. One is called The Astrology Journal. Which I definitely recommend for anyone who is interested in learning how astrology affects them in real time. My first book that's out now is called Astrology for Happiness and Success. I also do readings. I'm still doing readings for folks. So if you ever want to book a session with me, you can find me at mylifecreated.com. And I'm also on Instagram at onemechanism. I would say Twitter, or formerly known as Twitter. I hate that.
I still call it Twitter. It's Twitter.
I still call it Twitter. I would say you can find me there too, but it's been such a hellscape over there. I'm like, don't even bother. You can find me on Instagram.
It's holding on by a thread. I think like podcast wise, I've given up on building that page because it's just like, why bother? But I still am holding on personally on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I just feel like at any moment it could be gone. Like literally any moment.
So I would definitely say, like, if you're looking for me, definitely go to my website, mylifecreated.com, and you can get all sorts of info there.
Well, let me say this to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy solar return.
It was so nice to see your face again and to do an episode with you.
So, likewise. I'm so happy to have done this again with you. And yeah, it has been too long. I know that you took a break too. So yeah.
I did. Yeah. I had to take a little pause for a little bit, but it was good. It got me, because I feel like after a while, you know how you just do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure and life took over, and I was trying and I wasn't putting out my best stuff, and so I was like, I just can't. So it's just it stop it.
No,
and take a break.
I'm all for breaks, especially for Black women. So
rest is not a bad thing, and so I had to do that for myself, so I'm glad I did it though.
Good
to be back.
Good to see you.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
All right. That is it for this week's episode. I want to say thank you and happy birthday to our guest, Mecca Woods. Be sure to support her. Be sure to follow her. And after we recorded this episode, she sent over another tidbit that she wanted me to share about Mercury retrograde. So we're talking about Mercury retrograde in the holidays. She forgot to mention that there could also be some issues with travel plans, shipping, receiving packages, as well as overcharges or wrong charges with credit or debit card purchases. Mercury rules travel, communication, and commerce. So a retrograde can definitely screw these areas up. So I just want you all to be mindful. I want to thank Mecca for making sure we got that piece of information, especially as we're shopping and moving in the hustle and bustle of this holiday season. So again, happy birthday to my birthday twin. Happy birthday to all the motherfucking Sagittariuses out there, especially my Sag girls. We are the best. There is no debate or doubt about it. Okay. And so again, thank you all. If you send me birthday wishes and I did not get back to respond, this is my response to you. I appreciate you all so, 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 so very much. All right. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any app that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review too. You might just hear your review on the next episode. All right. Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these pretty images for nothing. Please like the reel. Comment on the reel, not just the story. It helps so much. Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.